I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
It's time for Touche here Monday night on 720 WGN. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in studio. Big day on Capitol Hill. Let you know, I think we just start by just randomly picking some of the random hearings that happened in the Senate and the House. I mean, there's many. You know, just go to the schedule. Why don't we just go ahead?
You want
to
go for like the House Transportation hearing on the gas mileage?
There was gas mileage today. Yeah. There might have been something. Why don't we start in the House today? The long-awaited live broadcast of the House Intelligence Committee.
I'm working on my side.
not a great day for the Trump administration, as most of the intelligence, the people in charge of the intelligence agencies in our country came out and said there's nothing that says that the Trump Tower was wiretapped, and on top of it, we are currently investigating collusion between the Trump campaign at the time and Russia.
Yeah, I mean, not such a great day. I think that first of all, I don't understand what it is with this White House. They fail to respect Rule One of crisis. And Roebling and I are from different sides of the aisle, but we'll both agree that Rule One of crisis: concede the obvious. Barack Obama did
telling
not,
the truth.
Well, that too. Barack Obama did not wiretap Donald Trump under any stretch of the word wiretap. And Comey said that today, and Roger said that today. And it's like, they won't give up the ghost. Sean Spicer at his press conference is like, well, this is just chapter one of a long book. And they're like, no, there's zero there.
Yeah, but there's zero there on the Russian collusion story.
No, there's not.
Evidence. Hold on. There is no evidence. No evidence was adduced. No evidence was introduced. No evidence has been identified. There's nothing there yet. Okay, there's a lot of smoke. The only law that we know, the only crime we know took place was identifying Flynn, who was a lost soul in his own right, but he still shouldn't have been identified. But that doesn't matter to the high-level Obama administration people who are still angry that Hillary had screwed
it up.
So you
say the only crime is the leak. That's what you're saying.
The crime we know took place. We know somebody who had access to that name, and to have access to that name, you're in the top dozen or so, maybe a couple.
Ding, ding,
of dozen.
Ding! Kitty Kurth guessed correct. Roebling's defense of the indefensible today.
No defense of the indefensible.
Chris, there's lots of evidence of collusion.
There's lots of evidence of collusion.
Roger Stone. Yes, I do.
You have none.
If you stop talking, you'll hear it. Roger Stone, Donald Trump's best buddy, who called out what was going to happen before it happened from WikiLeaks with the Podesta stuff. It turns out he had 16 different conversations with the Russian hacker Guccifer 2.0. Number one.
That doesn't
number
mean
two,
anything.
Excuse me. Number one. Number two.
That's not collusion.
Number two, we know for a fact now that Donald Trump's people fought to change the Republican platform to take out the part about military defense of Ukraine.
They strengthened.
That's number two. And this is after they lied about it.
This is the lie coming from David right now.
That's number two. Number three, Flynn, who Sean Spicer just today described, well, he was a volunteer. I mean, the lies coming out of this White House, he described Sean Spicer as...
Sean Spicer described Flynn as
a volunteer. Wait, one more thing.
Okay, one more thing.
And he described... He described Manafort. He said he had a limited role for a limited period of time.
These guys are digging so deep.
So you were asking
why that happens, and I have the answer. But go ahead. They're incompetent.
Okay.
That's it.
I mean, look.
I believe that Reince Priebus has failed
and needs to be replaced. I believe that the White House is not functioning properly. I believe that problem starts with Trump. I believe that Trump has an unstable personality. I was not a supporter of Trump. And I said, when you get a guy like this into office, no one in the entire world, and that includes Ivanka Trump, his daughter. You don't get the Lucretia thing.
I don't get it. No.
Well, someday you're going to figure that one out. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure your listeners, somebody's going to text it. The reference.
Somebody, tell me who texts it fastest. Anyway, so Lucretia.
Yeah,
I'm
we were
sorry,
on Patty's show. They'd give a
no
Lubomati's
one,
gift certificate
including,
for that.
Including Donald Trump Jr., including Ivana, the former wife, right? No one knows what you're going to get, except we all know we're going to get stuff that we don't like. And so here he has this great speech, and then he goes and he walks on his story, and he walks on his story by, I agree with David, there is no evidence that Barack Obama personally ordered a wiretap, which would have been illegal, blah, 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 and, you know, Watergate and all that kind of stuff. But there's no evidence of that, and I don't think, and it's ridiculous for Sean Spicer. The only reason Sean Spicer's down there doing triple backflips with a turn, full turning backflip, is because he's got a boss who's out there saying this crazy right. stuff.
So, but the
what else do you need to know?
But the problem is, and
Jays.
So, but the Russia stuff,
that's
you know,
totally bogus. And just remember, just write it down. Will you mark this tape? What day is today? The 21st?
The 20th. All right, of
March, David has nothing else to talk about. They're afraid of talking about.
Oh no, no,
taxes,
I'd be happy to talk about the healthcare disaster. We could talk about the healthcare debacle. We could talk about the budget debacle. There's so many debacles to talk about.
Talk about
Donald Trump has a 37% approval rating in Gallup. Barack Obama, for all of the problems he had for 8 years, never achieved 37%.
I agree. Look, Trump has got to be mindful of this stuff. I mean, you cannot go to Kentucky or you can't go off to some hangar in Orlando and solve the world's problems because there are 15,000 people who are going to wait out in the sun to come in and say, hey, I love Trump. That's not governing.
Are you at all concerned when the FBI director says, yes, we are currently investigating the collusion between the...
No, he didn't say that. The possibility of collusion. He didn't say
the possibility of collusion.
Yeah. Right.
Are you at all concerned as a Republican that that's more than being comfortable in the idea that, you know, you don't like your presidential.
Look. Manafort, if anybody in Washington doesn't know who and what Paul is, I've known him for 37 years. Okay? You don't know who and what Paul is, who and what Roger Stone is, who and what their crowd are. You have no business in this business.
Who and what are their crowd? Chris?
I'm talking about all of the, they've got a bunch of factotas sitting around in Washington or in New York or in Kiev. There are folks out there who have been sort of slithering along. They're the pilot fish who swim next to the big sharks, right? And these guys get their piece. And if you don't know that, you've got no business being in this business. So I never liked Paul Manafort. And I said that back then.
Yeah.
And I said, he was campaigning as an outsider, but he put the campaign into the hands of the ultimate insider.
But here's where we are in the scandal. Because
there is
no scandal because
you have no evidence.
Yeah. No, I have lots and lots and lots of evidence. What I don't have
let me get the FBI number.
What I don't have yet is the smoking gun.
Jeez.
Where I feel like is during the Watergate. When they discovered that the White House counsel's name was in the Watergate burglar's address book,
it was a big... Howard Hunt was not the White House counsel.
Okay, semantics, go ahead.
Yes.
He said White House counsel.
I'm sorry, when Howard Hunt's name was discovered... A consultant, yes. When Howard Hunt, who worked at the White House, his name was found in the Watergate burglar, it's like, well, there's no evidence that Haldeman and Ehrlichman and the president were involved in a cover-up. There was just a lot of smoke. We are at a place with this Russia story where there's an astonishing amount of smoke. I mean, this is the Roger Stone. I mean, you cannot underestimate this Roger Stone business. 16 different contacts he had with the Russian hacker.
Do you know through Twitter?
Do you understand what collusion means?
Hold on a second. David, there's a thing called social media. And you know what? I actually get personal messages from people I've never met.
I have a piece of advice for you, Chris.
It's really amazing.
Don't wrap your reputation around this one because you're going to lose it.
Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio. It's Monday night. We're doing Touche. Come back. We'll talk about the Gorsuch.
Touche.
Hearing in the other chamber today, so everybody stay with us.
We're talking about healthcare.
Healthcare too.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
You go right. Touche. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in studio.
I'm saying goodbye to Chuck Berry.
There you go.
Barris.
That was
Barry and Barris. They both died.
He was a master.
He was.
He played at my college campus.
Chuck Berry did?
Chuck Berry, yeah. Not Chuck Barris.
No.
He also died, by the way.
A friend, John Timmerman, who's a great jazz saxophonist. Has been for 40 years. And John Timmerman said that he could never get this kind of riff right on the saxophone. And he was listening to Chuck Berry. And he listened to Chuck Berry play one of his two-string licks or whatever that was. And he actually heard how Chuck Berry did that. And he was able to hear the notes, which I don't know if you guys are musicians. I can't tell one note from another. And it unlocked the whole thing for him.
Wow.
It unlocked the whole thing for him.
It's really great to see how many musicians, you know, working successful musicians are paying tribute to their career to
Starting with Chuck Berry.
Well, it all started with Chuck Berry.
Keith Richards.
Yeah. Well, and Carl Perkins.
Oh my God!
All right, let's get back to politics.
Oh yeah, that.
Let's do that. Let's talk about the first sort of foray into the nomination process for Judge Neil Gorsuch.
Yeah.
Today was a big day to start it off. Does it seem like it's going to be contentious, Chris? Does it seem like this is going to be smooth sailing?
I got to tell you, quick plug, love the WGN Morning News. They got top rated today, which is very nice.
Absolutely.
But about a month ago on GN, I went on with Marge Halpern, my friend of all of ours. And I said, the only two questions are, how much will the Democrats, with this Gorsuch nomination, I said, A, how much will the Democrats hurt themselves and how much will they hurt the Senate? And I think that's absolutely charting the course. I mean, there are a few left wingers, but basically Gorsuch is so Hollywood central casting for a Supreme Court justice, so conscientious and deliberative. There is no reason to oppose him. And the Democrats might choose to hurt themselves, and if they choose to go for the filibuster, they'll only hurt the Senate.
Well, two words, Merrick Garland. I mean, a lot of voters, liberal voters, Democrat voters, they want to hold their senators to the idea that they need to resist in a way because of what happened to Merrick Garland.
No, I agree. It's not going to happen, unfortunately. What is troublesome is that. You know, and Donald Trump is smart in this. You know, yes, Gorsuch looks the part. Yes, Gorsuch has a very nice manner and a self-effacing manner, and he's, you know, he loves his kids and his dogs.
He's a successful judge
and all of that stuff. He also always takes the corporation side over the individual
side.
He takes he takes the executive over the individuals, and even the regulators who used to get deference no longer get deference under Gorsuch. This guy is a reactionary, and should he get on the court, he will be viewed as to the right of Antonin.
So David is.
He probably will be viewed as the most right wing member of this court if he's confirmed.
David is trying.
Do you agree with that?
Absolutely not. I think that Gorsuch is both an originalist and a textualist, but he has had
nonsense and nonsenser.
He's had the time and as you know, Scalia really blazed that trail, and he's one of these guys who got to scoot along the trail because Scalia blazed it, and I think he's going to go significantly farther. And David, on the Chevron doctrine, which is deference to regulators, you know, Gorsuch has enunciated something very profound, and that is that when Congress is ambiguous, it's a judicial rule, the Chevron doctrine, that the judiciary will defer to the administrative agency that is interpreting the law. Okay. Who in our basic third grade understanding of civics is there to interpret the law? Is it the executive or is it the legislative or is it the judicial branch?
Well, as a matter of fact,
the judicial branch.
As a matter of fact, it's the executive and the administrative that takes the laws and promulgates regulations to enforce the laws. That is their job. And as you said, the Chevron doctrine historically gives deference to that. Gorsuch says, well, it depends. And that's why all this nonsense about textualists and originalists, it's all a bunch of hooey. And we
it's
all
not.
Saw
it's
that.
Not. David is
we all saw
over.
That. No, I'm not.
No,
we
not
all saw that in
the,
Bush.
He's not addressing
I'm addressing
issue.
It exactly.
No,
you just
not.
Keep interrupting me.
You're failing.
Yeah, it's spicy. Lion spicy.
You're failing
anyway.
Because here's why you're failing. Chevron is based on the ambiguity of the Congressional Act, David. It is not based on the specificity.
No, it's what you define as the ambiguity of the Congressional Act in order for you to overrule their regulations in order to benefit the corporate interests.
No,
this is exactly how Gorsuch has ruled again and again and again.
Well, no, you're wrong about
there is legitimate reason for Democrats to oppose this nomination having nothing to do with Merrick Garland.
Right. Well, that's interesting.
I think there are
ideological. Would you accept that?
There are ideological reasons. If I was in David's shoes, ideologically, where you have such little else. Of course you would try.
Yes, because how dare we deal with principle and matters of law and protecting people instead of corporations?
Right, really? No.
Whereas the Republicans, like Chris, only want to help the corporations and the corporate interests.
No.
Legal talk.
Jeez, even now I'm feeling like Bernie Sanders.
What about the mugs?
It's all about Wall Street. It's the billionaires and the millionaires. I left Chris speechless.
What about the Muslim prisoner who was denied what the law entitled him to? That is a clear case, and there are many, many like them, where Gorsuch said, I don't care what the executive thinks. I don't care what the executive says. The executive, in the form of the prison warden, has failed to uphold the statutory rights of this individual, which in fact were also constitutional. Well,
which is why Chris is going to support the Ninth Circuit when they overturn the Muslim ban for a second time. Oh, wait, no, you won't, because that's ideologically inconvenient for you.
All right,
no,
Gorsuch,
it's not a Muslim ban.
We've got lots of time to talk about Gorsuch. It's not going to be until mid-April till this thing gets confirmed.
Healthcare.
But we're
quickly,
we're
because I only have a minute here, guys. And healthcare, the vote's going to be this week. What do we think? I mean, do you see it coming out of the House in its form that it's in right now?
This is an indefensible bill that Chris is about to defend. 24 million people are going to be thrown out of their healthcare.
Wrong. You are wrong. That is
thrown
false.
Off of insurance. It's not.
No.
It's
no,
CBO.
These are 24 million people. CBO got the original estimate 100% wrong.
No, they did not.
And what
not.
You're talking about here is not
no,
people,
they did not.
Excuse me, not people thrown off, people who are never going
to
get
you're
on.
Not entitled to your own facts, Chris. You're just not. The CBO projected that the uninsured rate would drop below 11%, and it did.
We're going to have to wrap up right there.
On absolute numbers, facts. They were 100% wrong.
Chris Rowling, Dave Lundy, every Monday
Touché.
Night.
Touché.